Hey, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. It's Nick and I at it again.
We are breaking it down, not in our normal break it down podcast studios. We're in our temporary studios.
We're going back to where it all began.
That's right. Taking it back to our origins. We'll soon be back to our podcast studio, but we're making it work for right now.
Yeah. Summer's kind of crazy with everybody taking vacation and whatnot. So our technical people are out, Kai's out. And so he's left it to us to be able to do it like this, which I'm okay with. It's a little more personable for us. We can kind of relax. We're not on video.
That's right.
So it is nice. But we are still in our series on Moses. And this week was kind of showing how Moses doubted his ability to go and free the Israelites. And then God says, hey, it's not really about you, but it's about who I am. And mm-hmm. I'm going to make this happen through you. And so I was kind of thinking about that as far as how we wanted to open up today's podcast. And I was thinking of we would share a time where we doubted ourselves. But then once whatever happened turned out good, or it turned out for the glory of God.
Okay. Yep. All right. You go first.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking college was a pretty scary thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of my parents went to college. I had a cousin who was in college whenever I started. And so I had no idea what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
High school kind of prepared me for college, but it was a whole new world. And so going in, I was like, man, what's my plan B? And I was like, I don't really have a plan B, so this has to work. Mm-hmm. And so I doubted myself a lot through college. My first year was tough. I had never failed a class before. I ended up failing two classes, changing my major a couple of times, and finally finding my place where I felt like I could use the gifts that God had given me, my natural ability. And then in that education part, I really excelled in it. And I felt like it was God's hand leading me to do that. And then that avenue kind of got me here.
Mm.
And so whenever I went and did my master's, I wasn't as nervous, but that first experience with college for me was, I doubted myself.
Yeah.
100%.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I can think about a lot of times in my life where, and I talked a little bit about this in the message, where I didn't feel like I was going to be enough, whether that was when I was transitioning from my previous ministry here and kind of standing before the church of, you know, all these people that were there with a lot of expectation, having just been led by a great leader for 50 years. And, you know, who's this young, dumb kid that's going to come in here and think that they can, you know, present themselves in such a way that we would welcome them, right? Yeah. That we would welcome him and his leadership. And I just think that that's definitely a moment where it's a natural thing to doubt yourself. And I think lots of times, and most of them, if I'm being honest, have come when I'm standing in front of people and I need to say something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you think, okay, what do I say? How do I say it? What's the best way to approach this? It's amazing to me how time after time after time, in those times where I have just trusted the Lord to say, you know what? Don't worry about this. God's got this. He's going to tell you and show you what to say. It should be really no surprise to any of us that he always comes through.
Yeah.
And that's the message around this. Like this message in a lot of ways, this series, you're going to have doubts, you're going to have fears, you're going to have troubles. But God is big enough and he's able to handle all of it. So that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally understand that coming in. You were mid-30s whenever you came.
I was, yeah.
Kelly. Yeah, I can definitely understand that and just our ability to for people to feel like we have all the answers,
mm-hmm.
and then yourself feel like, I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes. Like, yeah. I'm just taking what God has put on my heart and trying to lead people towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's through small groups or, like for me, first-time guests, I just want to love people.
Right.
And how that happens in that moment is always different. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that. Because especially when we do like a plan your visit and I know someone's coming, mm-hmm. the amount of anxiety that I get, like until they get here, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, okay, then it's all good. But not knowing who they are really, like what to expect. But then God, once they get here, giving me everything to say and making that connection with people is always, for me, encouraging.
Well, I think that's a really important point that we should probably talk about for a minute, because we all spend a lot of time allowing our anxiety to rule the day,
yeah.
and our anxiety to build up, you know, just a lot of feeling in us and a lot of dread. And you would think that at some point, after all the times we've seen God be able to be enough for us in those yeah. moments, and 99.9% of those situations not be anywhere near what we thought they would end up being, as far as, you know, really overwhelming or really stressful or really negative, you would think that we would go into more situations where we say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Like, I can trust the Lord in this, and the Lord is able. I've gotten a little bit better about this in my life because I used to do a lot more of that. I've gotten a little bit better about approaching those situations. And instead of, like, when somebody calls and says, hey, can we meet for lunch?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when somebody yeah, does that yeah. with a pastor, I used to spend a lot of time being like, oh, man, what's it going to be? And, you know, they're ready to break up with us as a church, or me yeah. as their pastor, or whatever it is. And that's really hard. And I don't do much of that worrying anymore, because in all of those situations, what you tend to find out is it's going to be what it's going to be.
You have no control over the outcome.
You have no control over the outcome. And so all you need to do is just be present, like really be present in the moment and trust the Lord in the moment.
Yeah.
And it will all be fine. It really will. That's, you know,
great. No, I think that's perfect.
And it's really, and it's true of everybody in just about every circumstance. Now, I say that, and I still find it healthy, a healthy practice, to briefly think through a situation about, okay, are there any things I need to think ahead on? Are there any things I need to kind of be prepared for? And any questions I want to already know the answer to? Because what I've found through the years is your intuition that the Lord gives you will help you be prepared, will help you know the things you need to know to best handle that situation. I had very early in my ministry here, I had a situation, and I'm going to be very broad about this so that I don't get too specific purposefully. But I had a situation where there was somebody who was kind of testing me. Mm-hmm. They were kind of feeling me out about whether or not I could be a leader, whether I could lead this church well, whether or not I was qualified. And so we actually went out to dinner, and I just kind of had this feeling, this is a very true story, that this person was going to ask me questions around theology at this dinner.
Yeah.
Where there were other people from our church at this dinner.
Which is normally not a place that you have those right. conversations.
You do not have these yeah. conversations at that kind of a meal.
Yeah.
Now, how would I know that? How would I have any idea that they were going to ask me not just any theology questions, but end times theology questions?
That's definitely not a normal conversation.
Correct. You know, and we went to Outback. Yeah. I still remember it. That's not a dinner conversation yeah. that you have at Outback. But I actually, the Lord told me that this was going to happen, because there's no other way for me to be have known this and be prepared. So I specifically read that chapter on end times theology that is yeah. in Dr. Jack Cottrell's book, uh-huh. his systematic theology, The Faith Once for All. I read that chapter before I went. Now, I was familiar with those areas of theology, but not so much that it wouldn't have benefited me to read that chapter to remind myself about, oh yeah, and that's kind of where we get this in scripture, and here's why I land where I land on these things. So we get to dinner, and you know, the dinner's gone great, and we're talking, and this person brings this up.
I have no idea.
I don't know how we made that transition. I do not know how we made that transition. I don't remember that. But the part that I will always remember is me just sitting there thinking, like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. That I was absolutely, totally prepared because the Lord had shown me what I needed in that time. Yeah. Now, again, the vast majority of circumstances, he's going to give you what you need in the moment. But I do believe if you're listening to him and you're building your relationship with him, he'll prepare you for those critical moments. Absolutely. And I do think that in that moment, I showed that person that I was up to the test. Yeah. Not because I was great, but because God knew what I needed to, you know, to be prepared in that moment, right? Yeah.
And I think that perfectly segues into the experience that Moses has at the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week's message was about how Moses felt unqualified to go and rescue the Israelites from Egypt, but God gives him everything he needs, and probably even more than that, than Moses, for Moses to go and free these people.
Right.
And so let's kind of talk about that. So Moses, he sees a burning bush, he goes up to it, and they have this, he has this conversation with God, and Moses is doubting himself. That's the first point you make, is that Moses has doubts that people will believe him, that he's not just some lunatic saying that God has sent me to free these people. I mean, just that in and of itself is kind of crazy. Moses would go to Pharaoh and say, hey, you know, God told me you should let his people go. Like, that's not, so the first thing that Moses doubts is, hey, will these people believe?
Right. Well, and it's understandable because, you know, God has appeared to him in a burning bush in the middle of the desert. Like,
not your norm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about the quote unquote modern day prophets, false prophets of various religions that have said that they had a revelation. Yeah. Right. And, you know, we doubt them, and for good reason. It's totally understandable that Moses would expect that people would doubt him. And that is, I believe, one reason why God gives him some very clear signs to authenticate his ministry. The same is true in the New Testament with the disciples, right?
Yeah.
The day of Pentecost comes, the disciples receive this miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where they receive miraculous gifts that unmistakably could only come from God. I mean, being able to heal people and raise somebody from the dead and so on and so forth, be able to be understood in various languages that were not their own, that's kind of a big deal. And those miracles are authenticating miracles. So was what God allowed Moses to do. So.
Yeah. I think the opening line of, hey, God told me through a burning bush that you need to let these people go. But he gives Moses these three miracles to perform to show not only the people, but Pharaoh, hey, I am being sent from God. And so he tells Moses to drop his staff, turns it to a snake. Then he has him put his hand in his coat, and his hand turns into leprous.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts it back. It's healed.
Right.
And then he can turn the Nile River, the water there, into blood.
Right.
So he gives him these things to say, hey, you can't do these on your own, which obviously Moses can't.
Right.
And so he gives them to Moses, and yet Moses is still, says, I'm not a good speaker.
Right.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, he's giving you these miraculous signs.
Yeah.
And then he still points it back to himself and saying, I'm still not qualified.
Yeah. And send somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, not only am I not a very good speaker, but surely you can find somebody who's better at this than I am.
And so God does. He sends Aaron.
Right.
Which I'm wondering, because I think in the passage, he says Aaron's already on his way. It's like, meet him.
Yeah.
So obviously God has had some kind of connection with Aaron to lead him. This is kind of off topic. Do you believe this is the first time Moses has seen Aaron in a long time? Because he's fled to Midian.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was some kind of connection still with, or Moses has left that entire life behind. Because then for Moses, he has all these things in his head of like, these people know what I've done.
I murdered.
The reason that I left to begin with is because I murdered this Egyptian.
Right.
And so even that anxiety within him could be pushing him to be like, well, if I just tell God that I'm not qualified, then I won't have to deal with whatever lies for me in Egypt, which right. could have been, you know, dangerous for him. I don't know.
Yeah, hard to say. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but I would expect that it's probably the first time he's seen him in a while, you know, since he fled.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's probably a reasonable assumption. I doubt that, you know, there's no jumping on a plane or take a train to go see your brother.
No, because Midian's pretty far.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like a hop, skip, and a jump to Egypt.
No.
But God is patient with Moses, and this is one thing that you point out. And I believe we can really find comfort here in knowing that we're not qualified to do much.
Yeah.
Like compared to what God can do and how he can use us through his power, that he's patient with us.
Yeah, and I think he reassures us. He will reassure us and reassure us beyond the level of our anxiety if we'll listen, because it becomes easy to, you know, we also are a people that want to avoid pain and difficulty. And so when we start to think about, when we start to connect pain and difficulty to Christian service, what do? We avoid the Christian service because sometimes it brings pain and difficulty or anxiety.
Yeah.
I think when we get to the place where we say, when we can get to the place where we trust God and know that he will be enough, even when we feel like we aren't, he will give us that reassurance to say, remember, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you what you need for this. That's the whole idea about him not calling the qualified, but qualifying the called.
Yeah.
And I think as cliche as that is, it is very true. It is more than much more than a cliche. It is a truth.
And I like what you said about how God, majority of the time, tells us to remember.
Yeah.
Like when Moses is saying, who do I say has sent me? He says, I am.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to remind him who he has led, you know, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And even for us today, it could be so easy for us to take some time whenever we do feel anxious in a situation or we feel that tension of being uncomfortable with whatever it is, to say, let me remember how God has used me in the past. Maybe not in a specific situation like this, but how he's brought me from Egypt into the promised land.
Right.
You know, and I believe that Heather and I do that a lot, especially when we come to a situation we've never been in.
Mm.
Like, for example, we're dealing with young kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes on in parenting that can cause some anxiousness, can cause some really, I'm not qualified to do this.
You haven't read the manual?
I haven't gotten it. Nobody sent it to me yet. I think it's just circulating. Maybe there's only one copy.
It'll get around to you eventually. Yeah.
But oftentimes we're like, hey, let's just remember how God has taken us from where we were to where we are now.
Yeah.
And there's comfort in that because God is faithful in the promises that he's given us. And I believe just because it's not in the same category as parenting, I can find comfort in that and say, if he's done that for us, how much more will he be, you know, keep his promises for my family, you know?
Sure.
And he's done it over and over in the Old Testament, and we see them reminding each other, like the Passover, which isn't here yet, mm-hmm. but the Passover will be a reminder of, hey, look what God's done for us. And it's an encouraging point, so much so that Jesus uses it as an example to say, hey, look, now let me implement this new quote-unquote Passover.
Yeah.
Let me show you who I am with it.
No, that's good.
And then the last point that you made was overcoming the doubt.
Hmm.
So how do we as Christians overcome the doubt that's within us to continue being used by God? How do we get to that place?
Yeah, I think it comes back to a little bit of what we've already talked about, which is that we remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God in the past, and we have faith. You know, it's kind of the dual edge of that sword, if you will, that, you know, you're reminded of how God has been there in the past and what he's done for you in the past, and you know, you believe what God has said about himself to be with you, what Jesus has promised us to be with us even to the very end of the age, give us what we need for life and ministry. His plan is to prosper us, right? To give us hope, to give us a future. He came that we might have life and life in abundance. I think when we can recall those truths about what the Lord means for our life, it helps. Now, doesn't mean you won't have hardship. Yeah. You know, in this life, you will have trouble, right? But take heart, for he has overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that that has to be our ultimate assurance. So you'll face temporary trial, trouble, pain, but the Lord will be with you in it all, and he'll give you enough grace, strength for the moment. So mm-hmm. I think from what I've seen in my life anyway, that's the only way I've navigated it.
And I believe that we see that in the story of Moses. We're not there yet, but
right.
It still wasn't easy for Moses to go. It still wasn't like, oh, he just asked Pharaoh and it was done. Like, there was hardship that happened
yeah.
in those moments, even during the plagues, of having to deal with that. Like, that's, you ask Pharaoh once and then all these plagues start and you go ask him again. Pharaoh could have easily blamed Moses and killed him right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to have the faith to, because I always believe faith leads us to action.
Sure.
And so we can believe in who Jesus is and God is, but until we take that action, we're still lost.
Yep.
And you know, and scripture says even the demons believe and shudder. Like mm-hmm. they're even led to some sort of action to shudder.
Sure.
And I think as believers, when we see how faithful God has been in the past and has been through Jesus, we have to make then some kind of faith act on our part. Mm-hmm. We can't just sit and stay in our place and be comfortable there. We really have to move out of that and take some sort of action to see how God qualifies us then through his power.
Absolutely. Agreed.
All right. So we talked about all the points. Anything you'd like to add from this week's sermon that you're like, man, I wish I had a little extra time. I wish I could preach for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think just being able to go on and on about God's faithfulness and how important, how many times he shows that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just seems like to me that's like a hammer that God's trying to beat us over the head with in a good way of like, don't you see, don't you see, don't you see, don't you see? Like, you don't have to doubt, just like all these other people that I gave what they needed to in those moments when they needed it. They didn't have to doubt that I was going to be with them. You know, I think that's that to me is the number one thing.
That reminded me of the story of Jonah, how I feel like Jonah's on the opposite end. Like, he knows exactly what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jonah was like, yep, you're not using me to go to Nineveh. I'm going to run away because I know you're going to save those people. Like, without a doubt. And then obviously God turns him into going into Nineveh, and he does it in such a haphazard way that God still saves these people. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. Like, I don't know. I believe Jonah had a lot of faith, and that's why he acted like that, because he didn't want that to happen. But as Christians, I believe if we have that faith and we were led to action, then God will be faithful. And so, what do you have going on that you're excited for in the next couple days?
Ice cream, man.
Ice cream.
World's yeah. biggest ice cream Sunday. We were just looking at all of our setup for that on Sunday.
Yeah, I walked into your office and you had a big gutter in
here. Hey, man. Guinness Book of World Records will be here to account for the world's biggest ice cream sundae. Not really, but yeah. It will be a gigantic ice cream sundae. It'll be fun for kids, families, just a simple little gathering after church, after our 11 a.m. service on Sunday. And so we hope everybody that can make it will make it and enjoy. I mean, who doesn't like ice cream? So, you know, make a sundae and enjoy a little fun. And hopefully looks like it's going to be a nice sunny day on Sunday. So don't miss it.
Yeah.
So that's my big thing. How about you, man?
I've really enjoyed VBX these last couple Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I like how we do it every Wednesday.
Okay.
It's not super tiring for everybody.
I'm glad for that. Yeah.
I really like how we brought it into our new worship center.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kids really have enjoyed that. And just overall, I mean, we've had a great turnout. One of my favorite things about this year's VBX, and maybe I just didn't notice it last year, was the amount of men that are serving.
Mm-hmm.
Like to see other dads.
Right.
Talking with kids. And I mean, we had a volunteer that was standing right behind me, and she was sharing the gospel with this girl. And when they were done, I turned around and I was like, yeah, we need to get you into children's ministry on a regular basis. Because it was so simple and beautiful. And she asked the girl, does that make sense? And the girl's like, absolutely. I said, man, that's the moment.
That's awesome.
Cool. So I'm excited for that for tomorrow night. And then I'm taking a little vacation for a week and a half, going back to Louisiana. And so we could see friends and family. Always a good time. Not excited about the weather, but can't have everything.
Can't have it all, man.
It'll be an enjoyable time.
Can't have it all.
I'm excited for that. But we thank you for listening if you made it this far. And we'll see you guys on the next podcast.
See you then.